website drbenkim.com. Today's topic is what I like to call a universal and timeless health principle. If you Google any specific health condition, you're bound to come across specific remedies, different products and procedures that are designed to treat specific health conditions. For example, if you have joint pain, many folks recommend that you take glucosamine, chondroitin, or some form of glucosamine. If you have chronic acne, oftentimes people recommend to take high doses of vitamin A. And of course, if you want to lose weight and have rock-hard abs, then one common product out there will tell you to obey the golden rule to a flat stomach. It's fine to use natural products to optimally support specific areas of your body, but please don't ignore what I call the universal and timeless health principle, which is the best way to improve one aspect of your health is to improve your overall health through all of your daily choices. This podcast aims to give you a big picture look at how interconnected all of your parts are. Really understanding this concept should immunize you or help immunize you against the temptation to buy all of these different specific products and procedures that are meant to focus on just one specific health problem. To start, let's review the basic pathway of blood through your body, because this understanding is essential to this principle. A good place to start is your small intestine. As your blood courses through the vessels that line your small intestine, it picks up nutrients from your most recent meal. From your small intestine, your blood flows to your liver, where nutrients are packaged into bundles that can be transported to all of the cells of your body. From your liver, which by the way is located in your abdominal area just to the underside of your ribcage on the right-hand side, your blood travels upward to the right chambers of your heart. And from the right chambers of your heart, your blood travels to your lungs, where the blood picks up oxygen from the air that you breathe. Also at your lungs, your blood releases carbon dioxide, which is a waste product that your blood picked up from all of your cells. And that carbon dioxide is to be exhaled, of course. From your lungs, your blood travels to the left chambers of your heart. And from the left chambers of your heart, your blood is pumped out to the rest of your body to deliver oxygen and nutrients to all of your cells. Since every organ in your body requires oxygen and nutrients, your blood travels through every organ, and when it passes through your kidneys, your blood is cleansed of waste products by special filters that exist in the kidneys. As your blood unloads oxygen and nutrients to all of your cells, it picks up carbon dioxide and other waste products from your cells. Your blood eventually comes full circle by returning to your small intestine and liver, and then back up to the right side of your heart. So just to review, here's a simple outline of the pathway of blood through your body. From your small intestine, to your liver, to the right side of your heart, to your lungs, to the left side of your heart, out to all of the organs and tissues of your body, including your kidneys, where the blood is cleansed, back to your small intestine, liver, and right side of your heart. To give you an idea of how much ground we're talking about, consider that if strung together, all of the blood vessels that make up this pathway through your body could circle the earth 2.5 times. And also consider that over the course of one day, your blood travels about 19,000 kilometers. That's 12,000 miles. Now let's revisit your lungs and heart. Remember that before your heart pumps blood to the far ends of your body, it first sends the blood to your lungs to pick up oxygen. If your lungs develop chronic disease through exposure to cigarette smoke, asbestos, other environmental pollutants, autoimmune illness, or any other factor, it experiences repeated bouts of inflammation. Inflammation is a process that your body generates to try to heal an injured area. If your lungs experience enough inflammation, it can develop scar tissue, which is tissue that is created to try to heal damaged areas. If your lungs develop significant scar tissue, it becomes harder for your lung tissues to allow fresh oxygen to enter your blood, and for carbon dioxide to leave your blood. The result is that your heart has to work harder because your body's need for oxygenated blood and clearance of carbon dioxide remains the same, regardless of how healthy your lungs are. In order to keep up with your body's demand for oxygen and nutrients, the right side of your heart has to pump harder and perhaps faster to compensate for reduced efficiency in your lungs. If your lungs don't return to high-level functioning, the right side of your heart will eventually become fatigued, that's guaranteed, and it won't be able to sustain the effort needed to keep blood flowing through your system fast enough to ensure optimal delivery of oxygen. If the right side of your heart is significantly weakened from years of compensating for diseased lungs, your liver may experience signs of congestion, since your liver is constantly sending blood directly to your heart. So one potential cause of liver disease is lung or heart disease. Another potential consequence of fatigue and weakness in the right side of your heart is congestion in the blood vessels in your lower extremities, your legs and feet, since these vessels are continuously sending blood back to your heart. This is how lung or heart disease can cause problems related to circulation, like varicose veins and hemorrhoids. And what about the left side of your heart, the side that pumps blood out to the rest of your body? Can problems in the left chambers of your heart cause problems in other organs as well? Of course, absolutely it can. To give an example, if you develop thickening in the walls of large arteries in your system, often called atherosclerosis, by eating too many potato chips, donuts, other snacks that you know are very high in sugar and refined carbs and unhealthy fats, the left side of your heart will have to work harder to meet your body's needs for oxygen and nutrients. And over time, this extra work can cause the left side of your heart to become fatigued, which can lead to congestion in your lungs, since your lungs are constantly sending oxygenated blood to the left side of your heart. If your lungs suffer enough in this fashion, you can develop all of the problems associated with right-sided heart fatigue, like liver problems and problems with your blood circulation in your lower extremities. And what about your kidneys? If your kidneys decline in function, none of your other organs can function properly for a number of reasons, the primary ones being that your body will accumulate toxic waste products and lose its ability to regulate fluid balance. Here's what all of this boils down to. It's impossible to have just one organ in your body suffer from disease. In other words, you can't have just a skin problem, a chronic skin problem, that is, that's related to something other than contact dermatitis or some form of one-time external injury. You can't have chronic liver disease, a fatty liver. You can't have weakened kidneys. You can't have a weak heart, a weak respiratory system. You can't have just one area that's weak without other areas of your body also being weak at the same time or eventually getting weak. To put it another way, if one of your organs isn't doing well, it's only a matter of time before other organs will experience declining function. The reverse is true as well. If your lungs are extremely healthy, the right side of your heart, your liver, the blood vessels in your lower extremities, and all other areas of your body are positively influenced. Just as the performance of one member of a sports team can affect the performances of her teammates, the health of each organ in your body has ongoing influence on every other part of your body. So please remember, the best way to improve the health of one part of your body is to work at promoting good overall health by eating healthfully, getting adequate rest physically and emotionally, being around fresh air and sunlight without getting burned, of course, being physically active, and striving to be emotionally balanced. Natural remedies for specific health challenges may be helpful, but never forget that lasting, positive results require healthy food and lifestyle choices on a daily basis that supports overall health. And one last note, I did mention that striving to be emotionally balanced is one of the requirements for having good overall health, and therefore addressing specific health concerns. I feel that something that belongs in this category is to have some life purpose, some feeling that you're doing something where you're of service and that you find to be meaningful. And that has to be there, maybe not every day, but it has to be there consistently over time. Because my experience has been that when this is missing, it becomes near impossible for most people to sustain effort in all of these other areas of life. So to be motivated to eat healthfully, to be motivated to take good care of our bodies with rest and activity, to be motivated to be in a clean and healthy environment, and to work at having honest, genuine, meaningful relationships with those closest to us. All of these things require motivation. They don't just happen when we roll out of bed. And I feel that the best motivation is to have some purpose, to feel like you are deeply needed by something or someone or some purpose. And it could be as simple as teaching your class of third graders, or it could be as simple as taking care of some animals or an animal, or taking care of your children, of course, or maybe something on a grander scale where you're making a bigger difference for a big group of people at work or through some organization. Anyway, I'm rambling now, but I hope that point is clear. I feel that striving to develop some meaningful purpose in life is the single most important requirement for good health, because it's the foundation upon which we make all of our other choices. And that may be the last time that I go off script, because I do ramble when I do go off script. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope that you have found this podcast to be helpful. I realize that I've been a bit sporadic with the podcast, and I'm sorry for this. It's because I record in my home office, and to record, I need some silence in the home, and that's very difficult to come by these days with the boys. So I am still actively looking for separate office space, and once I have that space, I believe I should be able to record more regularly. Okay, thanks very much, and have a nice week. Bye for now.